takes you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, who takes those children into his arms. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. One of the things that we've enjoyed as a family over the years is going to a bed and breakfast. If you've never been to one, I would encourage you to go. They're kind of fun. They're a unique experience. We've had the opportunity, for example, to stay at an alpaca farm. We've had the opportunity to stay on a real working farm, which meant getting up in the morning and going out. Although I will admit I didn't go out every day, as my family did. Going out every morning and doing chores, feeding the animals, collecting eggs for breakfast. And now maybe that doesn't sound like your idea of getting away from it all. But another part of the big draw of bed and breakfast is breakfast. Unlike going to a hotel, it's not a buffet. It's a carefully planned out meal with home-cooked things that you probably don't eat a lot. And even if that doesn't get you to want to try bed and breakfast, there's another advantage of them. Generally, their rooms are nicer, their rooms are bigger. For example, one place that we stayed at a couple of times, our room has been the entire third floor of the house. And even if you don't get a big room, because they aren't all big, the advantage is you get the whole house. You get the common areas of the house to sit in, porch to sit in usually, sometimes a pool. Just lots of places, lots of space to relax and get away from it all. Despite all these advantages, there's also some difficulties that we've ran into. And that's that a lot of bed and breakfasts say no children allowed. And why is that? Well, because for the most part, people go there to get away. They go there for peace and quiet. They want that small, intimate setting. They go there with that expectation in mind. Unfortunately, the times where we haven't been able to find one that does allow children, we've talked them into allowing our child, allowing us to be there with Christopher. But we've had to assure them that he knows how to behave, he knows what a bed and breakfast is all about, and he knows how to behave in public. The problem really is with expectations. The people's expectations of children, how they act, and the people's expectations of where they are when they're at a bed and breakfast. And I'm not to embarrass my son, and I actually cleared this with him so it's okay, or to sound like too much of a proud dad, when we went to those kind of places that told us, well, generally we don't accept children, we got a good report. They were surprised and pleased with how our son acted and how he didn't disturb the other guests, and how he interacted with the host. But I have to imagine that for the most part, the people who had that kind of policy, no children allowed, either had bad experiences with children of their own, or with children just out in general, or with children in their businesses. And as a result, they assume then that all children act that way. Or at the very least, it's not worth the hassle of dealing with children. Is that fair to children? Is it fair to have such a view of them? Is it fair to say there are places they aren't allowed, not because it's not safe for them, but just because I don't want them there? Well, the disciples certainly thought so in our text. As we see this morning how they dealt with children that came to Jesus, may we be led to think of our own view of children, especially here at church. And think as well of our own expectations of what we expect when we come to church. What do we look for? What kind of environment are we expecting? Are we expected to be quiet and somber and peaceful and better not be disturbed? Kind of like a bed and breakfast. This morning, then, as we look at how Jesus dealt with the children that came to him, may we listen to his word, may we listen to his command, really, and let the children come. Now, when you think about it, the disciples should have known how Jesus felt about children. How he felt how they were so important and so precious to him. How they had a place in the kingdom of God. In chapter, right before our text, Jesus had told them about children. He made it clear that children weren't a hassle, that they weren't to be simply shoved aside, but they were a part of God's kingdom. He said, taking the child in his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me." In other words, the way we welcome children, the way we deal with them, the way we show our love to them is an expression of our faith and our love for our Savior. And to make sure they would understand how important children were, right after that, Jesus gave a warning. A stern warning about what happens if you make children leave him. He said, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. Does Jesus care about children? Absolutely. He even cares about little children, children who are infants and babies. He cares because even those children, those little ones, bundles of joy that they are also bundles of sin. They're also ones who need him. They're also ones who can believe in him. Faith isn't just an adults-only kind of thing. Something that's created through baptism and through the Word. Not by someone reaching a certain age, not by someone passing a certain test, like when you have to pass a test to become a driver. God's kingdom is for everyone, young and old. And even if the disciples forgot what they had just heard, they should have remembered their Old Testament history. In the Old Testament, God showed over and over again that young people have a place in his kingdom. Young people have a place in his plans. For example, God called Samuel when he was only 11 years old, working in the temple already. And God called him to be a prophet and to lead his people. But they couldn't remember King Josiah, who was only 8 years old when he became king. Yet God used him to reform the nation, to lead them back to him. In fact, even before people are born, God considers them part of his plan. God told the prophet Jeremiah, for example, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Even if you and I aren't ever going to be a prophet to the nations, God knows who we are. God has a plan for us. We're precious to him from the time we're born and even from before that. The psalmist reminds us that God knit us together in our mother's womb. How precious all people then are to God. And yet, as our text begins, it seems our disciples forgot that important truth. We read, people were bringing little children to Jesus to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. People recognized that Jesus had something to offer, even to little children. They were trying to be good parents. They were trying to do something that would help their children, and the disciples wouldn't allow it. But why? We can maybe try to think about it for a minute and think of the reasons why they would do such a thing. Maybe they just didn't like children. We all know people like that. Or maybe they thought their Savior, their Master, Jesus, was overworked. They were trying to give him some rest. Maybe they thought the people there were not really there to listen, but were just there for show. And so they shooed them away. Maybe they were concerned that there were so many people, so many kids, they would get hurt and crushed in the crowd, and so they just didn't want them there or have to deal with them. It doesn't really matter if their intentions were good or bad. It doesn't matter if they didn't like children or if they thought, well, we're protecting these children. It doesn't matter because we see how Jesus reacts to their rebuking those parents and sending the children away. It's a reminder that just having good intentions isn't enough. What matters is following God's law. And so Jesus looks at what they're doing and he says to them, well, actually, before he says anything to them, our text tells us that when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was angry, you might say. When he saw these children not being able to come to him, not being able to receive his blessing, he didn't like it. He didn't want them to be minimalized or excluded. It affected him deeply. As it often did, we can think of other times in Scripture where it tells us that Jesus looked at the crowds and felt compassion on them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. That's how God feels about adults. That's how he feels about children. That those little ones were just as important, were the ones that he was going to the cross to save, just like their parents and the adults. That those little ones needed his blessing just as much as their parents did. That's why he commands his disciples, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? And here the disciples were rebuking people, and then suddenly they're the ones being rebuked. They're the ones being told by Jesus, start allowing and stop preventing the children from seeing you. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, what about us? Do we ever hinder the children from coming to Jesus? Well, I'd like to say no. I'd like to say that we would never rebuke parents for bringing their children to church, bringing them to hear Jesus. I'd like to say that we encourage parents to bring their children to church, to Sunday school, to VBS regularly and often. That the reason we're having a VBS kickoff, the reason we're going to have VBS this next week is because we care. Because we want children to know about Jesus and what he's done for them. I'd like to say that children are precious to us, just as they were to our Savior. That we recognize that children can come to faith. That children, even those little ones who maybe can't verbalize it or can only say Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Believe in him and trust in him. I'd like to say that we know that they need that faith. And as I said, as precious as they are, they're also sinful, just like you and I are. But this week, as we have VBS, our focus is going to be just on that fact, the miraculous mission that Jesus did when he came to earth and suffered and died for all of us. And thankfully, I can say that. You've not only been here a few months as a pastor, actually, officially won't start until next week. I can say that that is how we feel. I can say that here at English Lutheran, children are precious to us. That we care about them. That we want them in church. We want them a part of our worship. We want them knowing about their Savior just as much as we do. But I also think this morning, we need to be honest. We need to admit that at times we have acted like those disciples. I don't mean that you put a sign up in the front door that says no children allowed. Nothing that obvious. But think about it for a minute. Have you ever given someone in church a look? You know the look, haven't you? The look when your quiet worship or your wonderful singing is suddenly disturbed by the loud noise of a child? Even a child. And they suddenly burst into noise or knock down a hymnal or just get restless as children do. When we give that look that rebukes the parents just as much as our words, maybe even more, would if we had said something to them. If that's happened to you, on behalf of myself and all of us here, I'd like to apologize. To apologize for how we made you feel, for doing something that is wonderful, for doing something that's faithful to God's word, for showing that Jesus is precious not only to you, but to your children. I'd like to let you know that we realize it is hard. It's hard to bring children to church, and it takes effort. And so we applaud that effort. We're thankful. We're thankful that you're taking the time and the effort to bring them here to hear about Jesus. And so I would just encourage all of us, those with children, those without, those who have had them, those who never had, remember our children, remember our parents, encourage them, make them feel welcome, even if they're disturbing, even if they're being noisy, rejoice that they're here, that they're being taken up in Jesus' arms and being blessed. Jesus' command this morning, to let the little children come, not only reminds us of how precious children are, but also reminds us the unique place that they have in the kingdom of God. Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now just for all these little ones who came to Jesus that we've been talking about this morning, what age group are they? Well, in our text, the word little ones refers just generally to someone who hasn't reached puberty. In the parallel account in Luke chapter 18, the word infants is used there. And so it's clear that the little children that were brought to Jesus that day were young and old, but there were true babies, there were infants there, as well as people who hadn't reached puberty. Again, it's a reminder that even those little ones, maybe can't even speak at all, have faith in Jesus. That through baptism, through hearing that word, the Holy Spirit has created that precious faith, the same faith that's inside of us adults. We can verbalize it, we can rattle off Bible passages. But you need spot in the kingdom is because of their unique faith. Jesus says, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter. It's interesting, isn't it? But Jesus holds up the example of a great faith, not of a scholar who can rattle off Bible passages at will, his eyes closed, or someone who has experienced life's hardships and struggled through it all and still remained faithful. Instead, he holds up a child, a little child, an infant, as we just said, someone who maybe can't even verbalize that faith that's in their heart. And so what's so unique about their faith? What's so special that Jesus says that's the kind of faith that will get you and allow you entrance into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus doesn't say, does he? He simply, at the end of our text, takes those children into his arms and blesses them. But even though he doesn't say just what that faith looks like, I think it's okay to think about it on our own, to use our mind, to think about what we know about children, and help understand just what Jesus meant by that childlike faith. In the NIV Study Bible, for example, my commentator wrote that here Jesus is pointing to the openness and receptivity of the child. I think that's certainly part of it, isn't it? That's one of the wonders, one of the exciting things at times about children, their openness, how receptive they are to things, how they'll believe, sometimes in a humorous way, anything you tell them, or anything you show them. I mean, an example of that, just think about if you've ever seen or you tried that magic trick on a child where you reach behind their ear and pull out a coin. What happens? They reach back and try to get more, don't they? Truly believing that there was money behind my ear. That's the kind of childlike wonder and faith that you and I are to have, that just trusts God, that trusts his commandments. For example, this week as we have VBS and we teach the story of creation, we don't need to have a big science lesson. We aren't going to have to teach them that this really is what happened. We'll just tell them, this is what happened because God says so. And they'll say, okay, if you say so. That's that childlike faith. A childlike faith that simply accepts. It's a faith the Bible talks about when it says that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. Faith that simply clings to Jesus, trusting all of his promises. And you and I continue to have that kind of faith. And we never lose that childlike wonder over God and over all that he's done for us. And we have a faith that simply jumps into our Father's arms, trusting that he'll be there because he's our dad. And what else would he do? But there's another reason why it's so important that as adults, we mimic that childlike faith that Jesus talks about that day. Because as much as we are to imitate children in that sense, it goes the other way, doesn't it? We know as adults, the children imitate us. And so as we think about Christian education this morning, focus on VBS, let's remember to make it not just about VBS and about, oh yeah, those kids who need some education, who need to hear about Jesus, who need to know all the things that he's done for them. But it really needs to be about all the education we do here. About Sunday school, but also about adult education, about the fact that on Thursdays, we have an adult Bible study that meets in a fellowship hall. And in a few weeks, when we start Sunday school next month, we're also going to start adult Bible study after church. We remember that we too need learning, that we need to come to Jesus and be picked up into his arms But our learning never stops. I think maybe that's another childlike characteristic that Jesus wants us to think about this morning. A childlike characteristic of when they learn something new, they get excited. Maybe you've seen that in your own child or someone that you know, when they learn something new in school or read a book that really got to them, whether it's a history book or something else, they can't wait to tell you everything about it. And they keep going on and on about it, even when you cry, you're like, yeah, I know. Right? That's what having that childlike faith is. It's a faith that says, this is amazing. I want to share. And you and I continue to do that with our faith as well. May we resist that temptation. It says, do as I say, not as I do. Just think, for example, how can we tell our children, well, you need to go to VBS. You need to go to Sunday school, as we see adults leaving without going to their own study, without participating as well. How motivated is that child going to be to sit at Jesus' feet and learn? Probably not very. We have an amazing opportunity this week with our VBS. It's a chance to carry out Christ's command to let the children come. It's an opportunity that really is only there for a short while. And we think about children, well, not just this week, but every week. As I said, it's only there for a short while, that opportunity. Not just the opportunity for VBS, but the opportunity to reach children. I'm not sure we always realize that. Maybe sometimes think, well, we have their whole life to reach them, to tell them about Jesus. But that's not what statistics show. Statistics show that most Christians say they came to faith between the ages of 4 and 14. Now that sounds good. That means they were being taught and they learned things. But then there's the next statistics about those children. And it says that 60% of American youth ages 15 to 19, or 15 to 29, leave church after high school. That means we only have that short window of about 10 years to let the children come, to encourage them, to bring them to church, to encourage parents to bring them, to welcome them into our Savior's arms. And so as we close this morning, may we think as well about Moses' words that we read in our first lesson. And his encouragement to the people of Israel encouraged us. As we think about all the ways that God has affected our lives as adults, all the ways that He's been there for us and led us through our wilderness, He said, teach them to your children. Talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days of the heavens are above the earth. Let the children come. Amen. Please rise. We'll continue now with our confession of faith with the Nicene Creed as printed in the bulletin. A reminder again of just what we learn when we educate ourselves and learn about our Savior. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. We'll continue by collecting our offering.